morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you like, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and we can also be found at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the show, Robert Knott is going to be with us, as he is Fridays, speaking of the arts. Right now, I'd like to welcome Craig Varjabedian. He is a photographer, and his newest book is called Ghost Ranch and the Faraway Nearby, and he will be speaking tonight at 6 o'clock, not 7 o'clock, as I listed, I think just by a mistake in a press release somewhere in the paper, 6 o'clock at the New Mexico History Museum on Lincoln Avenue. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning.
It's great to have you.
Thank you.
Now, this is a terrific book about a beautiful place in northern New Mexico, I guess a little about, what, an hour northwest of Santa Fe?
Just about, yeah.
Called Ghost Ranch. Ghost Ranch has had quite an interesting history. Now it's a Presbyterian retreat center.
Correct.
What was it before?
Well, it's had a lot of incarnations, but the one prior to the Presbyterians acquiring it was a dude ranch owned by a fellow by the name of Arthur Pack. And Pack was an Easterner from New Jersey, actually, who fell in love with the West and had some economic means and was able to acquire various pieces of the ranch over the years. And so he was the last private owner of the 21,000 acres or so that comprised Ghost Ranch.
And contrary to public belief, or common belief, George O'Keefe didn't actually own it. Is that correct?
No, but there's a wonderful story about about how as Arthur Pack was negotiating the last details of the transfer of the ranch to the Presbyterian Church, she apparently stormed into the meeting and started flailing around and screaming and everything else, screaming, "Arthur, why didn't you sell it to me?"
So this is a place of incredible natural beauty and also kind of a very long-standing cross point for people traveling because it has water, because there's water in the area. Is that right?
There is water in the area, yeah. Yeah, and there's the... And in recent years, they dammed the river to create the Abiquiu Lake.
Right. So how did you get involved with photographing up there?
Wow. Well, it happened a really long time ago when I first moved to New Mexico, a little over 20 years ago. I had a friend who took me up there, and because he said, "You absolutely have to see this." And I remember coming over that wonderful hill that starts to head down just past the dam, heading north, and the land opens up, and you start to see all those red cliffs. And I just somehow realized that this was something special.
Now, you're a black and white photographer.
I know.
And Georgia O'Keeffe, I remember distinctly the very first time I came to New Mexico. I was probably 23 years old, and somebody said, "Oh, you've got to go out to New Mexico." So I came out here just on a little vacation from work, and I had been looking at Georgia O'Keeffe paintings for years, and I looked at these cliffs, and I was like, this is realistic.
Yeah.
It's not this crazy, overly colorful fantasy that she's painted.
Yeah.
Here you are doing, how can you do black and white photography there?
Well, first of all, I guess black and white is my style. You know, it's what I use to sort of interpret the world. I think that the thing that I fell in love with most up there was the light. And I think one of the most incredible things, and of course there are many artists who have talked about the light who have come here, and I'm certainly just jumping on the bandwagon of a lot of other people that have done so. But the thing I became most intrigued with early on at Ghost Ranch was the way the light hit the various forms that are out there. And so that's what I photographed. And I photographed the various shapes and the various landforms and the various fauna and things like that that occupy the landscape.
Now, you said in the, and there's lots of nice essays in the book, and one of them is yours, and you said the land is both a subject and a teacher.
Yes.
How does that work? I mean, the subject is obvious. There's just amazingly dramatic and delicate things to look at, but how does it teach you?
The lessons are always very subtle. You know, I never learned, they don't come at you like with a blackboard and say, you know, this is it and this is that and so forth. What happens is, I think, is that the land comes along and it teaches you that, number one, it's alive. It has a pulse, you know, and in order to find out what that pulse is, one has to get extremely quiet inside. You know, one has to sort of just let it all go, let all the stuff that you end up bringing with you, let your preconceptions go away. In effect, kind of get out of your own way. And that's what I somehow learned how to do. And I think the land really reinforced the idea of doing that. And once I could get out of my own way, I could really begin to see the land for what it was.
When you say the land is alive, I mean, obviously it's covered with and filled with living things, but I think you're saying something more than that.
I am. I think the land actually has a pulse. The earth has a pulse. It's something living and breathing and everything else. And I think that what I tried to photograph was, and hopefully was successful at photographing, was that sense that it wasn't just a place where a bunch of live objects were planted, you know, and or that occupied a space, but that the land itself had something going, something live, something pulsing, something beating.
What's it like to actually really live? I take it that you lived there for periods of time.
I did. I lived in the village of Abiquiu.
Just a visitor showing up with a camera and then going home.
Well, in the beginning, it was shorter visits that kind of got longer and longer and longer until finally, what really happened was that I when I first started wanting to photograph the place 20 years ago, I started trying to make images up there, but they never really were images that captured a sense of awe that the place had. And it took me a long time to begin to understand how to do that. And I think that the only way I can describe that part of the process was just walking the land and sitting on the land and watching the light and watching the clouds move above it.
Without necessarily even photographing.
Exactly,
it.
Yeah. And there came a point where about 1996, 1997, that I began to start being able to see full images on the ground glass of my camera. And that's when I really kind of slowly began to photograph up there. Until about 7 years ago, where I finally decided this was something I needed to resolve, because it kept poking me in a good way, you know, come back, come back, come back. And so I did, and I made basically I photographed intensively over a period of 7 years, and I lived in the village of Abiquiu during most of that time.
What was it like living in Abiquiu?
I loved it. It was a really it's a wonderful place. I lived in a traditional Spanish home. And the people that were dear friends, and one of the great things that they did for me was that they would only speak Spanish when I was in the room, and they would turn the television to Spanish-speaking television.
Nice.
And so if I wanted to eat dinner, for example, if they were cooking dinner, I would have to be able to respond and ask questions in Spanish, or I wasn't eating.
Yeah, if you didn't know what the pepper was called.
That's
you
right, and
get
I'm not
it.
Sure I still do, but anyway.
So we're talking to Craig Barjavidian, and his new book is called Ghost Ranch and the Faraway Nearby. One of the things that I was thinking about looking at your book is that we're so used to photographs and frames, rectangular frames, paintings, prints, photographs, the TV set, the computer screen. And when you're out in a place like Ghost Ranch or Northern New Mexico or any giant landscape, it's round. There's no right angles anywhere. And then you have to frame it and
yes.
really impose and leave a lot of stuff out. No matter how big your picture is, you're still leaving stuff out. I would think that's a real challenge that you might not have so much if you're doing kind of cityscapes or something like that.
Where you've got edges, yeah. That's why it took so long to learn how to photograph Ghost Ranch, because I had... The camera, by its very nature, forces you to put a rectangle or a square or something around what you're going to photograph. And so struggling trying to figure out what to include and what not to include, what's around the edges of things, was really difficult for me. You know, because, again, I felt a sense of awe when I was up there. And in the beginning, I'd start taking these images, and I'd get them home, and I'd process them in my darkroom, and I'd look at them, and I'd go, this doesn't even come close to approaching what I was experiencing up here.
Yeah.
And so your point is well taken, that finding a way to stick a rectangle around something that's so vast and so grand is really difficult. And so I really took a cue almost from O'Keeffe when she would talk about only painting a small piece of it, you know, and that was the cue really for me, or the clue, I guess, in that once I understood that, then I realized that I could photograph something smaller and it could speak for the entire whole.
Right. Well, it's a humbling thing to know that no matter how much you have inside you, you can't fully represent it.
That's for sure.
So where this the title of the book, Ghost Ranch and the Faraway Nearby, this phrase faraway nearby actually comes from a Georgia O'Keeffe painting.
It does. She made a painting called From the Faraway Nearby, and it's happens to be in the collection of the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York. And it's a picture of a skull of a elk skull. Elk skull that certainly could not have existed in real life with all of those various horns growing out of its head.
The antlers look almost like the limbs of a tree.
Exactly, yeah. It's very organic looking. And then it's got some hills from the ranch, you know, down below it. So the skull sort of flows over top of that. And there's been a lot of speculation in what it meant. Various writers have talked about it being kind of a spiritual comment about O'Keeffe in terms of her landscape. I love the fact, by the way, that O'Keeffe appropriates everything, you know, and she talks about the Cerro Pedernal, for example, that anvil-shaped landform that appears in a lot of her paintings, and she talks about how she says that God told her that she painted it enough times that God said she could have it, and I'm fascinated by that whole idea of hers, but she had
a real sense of humor.
Great sense of humor, I suspect, but where was I going with this?
The meaning of the faraway nearby.
Yeah, I think that the most practical description of all of this comes from probably Barbara Lyons at the O'Keeffe Museum, where she talks about how really it's a conflation of space. It's a conflation of the things that are far away and the things up close, and you lose track in your mind of what is exactly far away and everything's up close. So they all appear to be on the same plane.
So we're talking about the book and the place, Ghost Ranch. I was thinking about... there's wonderful, I mean, you know how to photograph, and there are wonderful compositions and getting the light at just the right moment. There's also, I would think, a deepening understanding of what you're actually looking at, you know, the rivers and the trees and the way the whole ecosystem is working together. How does that knowledge enter into the way you photograph?
Probably after the fact. I think that more when I'm out in the field photographing, it's more an intuitive sense. It's an intuitive sense that this is the right place for me to be standing, and this is the right moment to be doing that. And this is where I think that the place itself informs you. You know, it you start to get, I guess, cues almost many times. You know, that this is the place where you need to be, and this is the right moment to be there.
Interesting. So there are a lot of people, I mean, there's the Presbyterian Church now, and there's a sense of spiritual or religious awe that people have up there. Do you feel like the place has something that inspires that awe, different from, you know, a few miles down the road or another, other parts of northern New Mexico?
That whole Rio Grande Valley, it's really interesting that the north of Ghost Ranch is where Christ in the Desert Monastery is.
Right.
And slightly south of Ghost Ranch is where the mosque is, the Dar Islam Mosque.
I guess that's why I'm asking. It's strange that, I mean, maybe, you know, you start one religious place and they all flock to it.
I wondered about that too. No, I want to believe. I think that a lot of people seem to find something up there for themselves. You know, Ghost Ranch talks a lot about transformation. And I really believe that people... assuming that they're willing to allow it to happen, can be transformed by being at that place. They end up being changed in some way. I know I ended up being changed. I became a much more thoughtful photographer, for example.
Really?
Because I think so. I think that I became much more aware, you know, and I was surprised how much I was missing in my work previous to this.
So that's just really a matter of close observation.
I think it's close
and getting
and,
quiet.
And being there.
Yeah.
I think you just have to allow the place to kind of slowly begin to work on you. And the thing that's also really interesting is I truly believe that there was a time when I was called to the ranch. I was called to be there for a period of 5 to 7 years. And then there came a point where I was no longer being called. I was being called away.
Really?
From the ranch. Yeah, the images just stopped appearing. And I don't know if that has to do with just a suspension of my interest in the place, or if I became bored, or whatever it was. But they just know the images stopped appearing in the ground glass on my camera, and that's when I knew I was done up there, or at least for now.
Very interesting. So the artistic process, the muse, is alive and well.
Alive and well.
We're talking to Craig Varjabedian. So you photographed large format, black and white. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So this is really. How close is it to, for example, what Ansel Adams was doing?
We used similar tools.
Yeah.
You know, we used film in the back of a camera. Probably, I suspect, he used a view camera as well. And I like the tool. The tool is really important to me in that it causes me to slow down. It causes me to be more contemplative because it cannot be fast.
And each negative is precious in a way. It's not like you're doing digital photography where you can throw out 90% of what you're doing.
Yeah, I guess you could. You could shoot an awful lot of film and throw it away, but it becomes problematic. And I also think that I think that a good photographer has skills, you know, and so you work to photograph the right moment, not just all of the moments, and hope that you end up with something.
Exactly.
I tried really hard to fit. So in the case of my images, there may only be maybe two or three negatives of the moment as it begins, as it reaches a kind of a crescendo, and then as it begins to kind of fade away.
Now, has digital photography been able to catch up with the fineness of grain and other, you know, kinds of expression that you get in the darkroom?
Sure. The resolution is there. You know, you can certainly capture on a scientific level, I guess, you can certainly capture all of the pieces of information. But I think that there is something different that takes place between analog photography and digital photography, much in the same way some people like, for example, to hear music played from the vinyl versus the music being played from the CD.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Some people like to hear it live.
Some people like to hear it live, exactly.
So tell us about your relationship to Ansel Adams and his work. I felt Ansel Adams as I was watching, I was looking at the images in your book.
Well, that's a very high compliment. Thank you. I'm not quite sure where to start. Certainly Ansel Adams photographed at Ghost Ranch. I suspect because he was a friend of O'Keefe, and he probably passed through there because O'Keefe lived on the ranch, and that probably helped him find his way around there. I think I heard stories about him borrowing her car and going out and seeing the area and making images out there. And it was always fun to sort of arrive at a place where, you know, you find out a little bit later that you know, Ansel had been there photographing there, or George O'Keefe had been there painting something similar to what you're photographing. I had a wonderful chance encounter with Ansel Adams when I was about 14, living back east, and the meeting really changed my life.
What happened?
Oh, it's a rather long story, but I chanced upon meeting him in a photography gallery, which I'd never been in an art gallery or photography gallery before. I was about 14 years old.
Were you already starting to get into photography?
Oh, yeah. I was out photographing that day, as a matter of fact. And I was walking by this place, and I saw some people hanging images on the wall through the picture window of this once residential building that was now an art gallery. And I looked inside, and they motioned me to come on in, and that's where I saw these images on the wall of, you know, waterfalls and pictures of the desert and images of moons rising, you know, and realize that this was something incredible. I had this huge flash, really, that sort of said, I want to do this. I want to do this. And I hadn't really ever thought about photography ever becoming a career, per se. I really imagined myself becoming a physician at that point in my life. But this was a huge change for me.
And so you went in, and there was Ansel Adams' mm-hmm. work.
Well, not only was there Ansel Adams' work, but there was Ansel Adams.
And so there was Ansel Adams.
Yeah.
So you, 14-year-old, go up to him and say, hi.
Well, he actually did the hi part. You know, he came in and he was there in the room and said hi and saw my camera around my neck and started asking a few questions. And we sort of chatted a little bit. And he asked me what I was out photographing that day. And it was, you know, it was in the winter. So I was photographing snow scenes, and it happened to be snowing that day. And so I was making images as I was walking. So it was really kind of a fun day, and again, that it was just this huge epiphany of walking in there, and I haven't had a whole lot of those in my life, but this was huge for me, and it really, I didn't want to do anything else after that. I mean, it was real clear to me this is what I was supposed to do also.
And so how did your life go on from there?
I attended the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, and studied photography there with a guy by the name of Phil Davis, and in fact, I know there are people here in Santa Fe who also studied with Phil Davis.
Huh.
And from there, I moved to New York City for a while and decided to go back to graduate school. And I went to the Rochester Institute of Technology, which is sort of, I guess, one of the meccas of photography out there, Rochester being the home of the Eastman Kodak Company. And I, through a series of circumstances, I end up being out here, I end up getting myself here to Santa Fe.
Now, when you came out to Santa Fe, were you remembering Ansel Adams in the West and all of that? Is that why
you
came here?
Well, it's interesting. I ended up taking a workshop with Ansel Adams, and it was Ansel suggested actually that I drive up and see the place where he had photographed his moonrise photograph in Hernandez. And so when I was passing, when I was driving back from California, I got to I-25 and headed north and came up here and looked at the place.
Nice. And you have, there's a number of moonrise photographs in this book.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a couple anyway. Yeah. Homage, I guess.
So you'll be giving a slideshow tonight at the and a book signing at the New Mexico History Museum.
That's correct.
At 113 Lincoln Avenue here in Santa Fe. The book is called Ghost Ranch and the Faraway Nearby by Craig Varjabedian, and some wonderful essays in the book as well.
Yeah, there are. There's several really great essays. One of them is by the former director of Ghost Ranch, a guy by the name of Rob Craig, who actually flew in this past weekend for the unveiling of the exhibition at the Albuquerque Museum, which, by the way, the images are down there if people would like to take that wonderful journey to Albuquerque and see
And we
them.
Have some listeners in the Albuquerque area as well.
Oh, how wonderful. There's an essay in there by Maren Sardi, who's a former editor of the Santa Fe Magazine. She wrote about the place, wrote about its history.
Right.
There's an essay in there by a fellow by the name of Belden Lane, who is a theologian who had an amazing experience up at Ghost Ranch and wrote several books about it.
Now, are there ghosts in Ghost Ranch?
I suspect that there are. You know, I have to confess I never encountered any when I was up there, although I heard some howling one night that when I was camping out that caused me to pause.
Some howling, yeah. That could be
That
could be anything.
Could be La Llorona, you know. You never know.
Could be a coyote,
that's right.
Craig Varjabedian, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
And we'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock at the New Mexico History Museum.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
We're going to take a break right now. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican. He's with us here every Friday speaking of the arts. Welcome, Robert.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte.
Oh, I thought you were Robert Knott. It turns out you're a horse.
Mr. Ed.
You're Mr. Ed.
Remember him? Wasn't he cute? He used to sing that song, A Horse is a Horse. Of course. The problem with that show is it didn't have a sexy woman in it, like Barbara Eden was in the Dream of Jeannie when I was a kid, so that was good. You know how my week started out?
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
On Monday last week, and I won't say much about this because, as you know, I don't discuss my private life that much.
You do discuss your what would you call it, private...
My predilections for women?
Your predilections and also your dreams and your basic psychoanalytic frame of mind at any given moment.
Only if it involves, you know, women or Sasquatch or something.
Anyway, go ahead.
So on Monday, and I don't want to embarrass anybody, a woman I lived with 25 years ago in Greece, an ex-lover, came through town with her family. She chose a totally different path than me and happily married, has two children, the house, everything. She brought her family. I met her kids. I met her parents, who looked the same as 25 years ago. We had a wonderful lunch at the new La Fonda, by the way. The food's excellent, and I paid for it. And it was just great to see her, and it just was fun and exciting and nervous. Have you ever run into somebody you haven't seen in 25 years that you were close with? Well, of course, you're not that old, right? I mean, you weren't. 25 years ago, you weren't even having any sort of intimate relations because you're just a baby, a child.
No comment.
I thought as much. Jean Kloss was a woman, not a man, by the way. Great cover story, great cover images. Our art director, Marcelo Sandoval, did a great job. And Doug Fairfield did a really nice job with a piece on the late Jean Kloss, Taos artist. Some beautiful, beautiful etchings. And Eugene Sanchez put together a new collection. I don't know if you'd call it a catalog, raisin, or a book.
Raisonné.
Yeah, what's that mean?
A comprehensive catalog.
Oh, really? Why is it going to do with raisins?
You know, I don't know why it has desiccated grapes in the title.
That's really true, right?
No.
Oh. Anyway, never mind that. It's a great book. Reception book signing and lecture by Mr. Sanchez, 2 to 4 p.m. Saturday at Nedra Matucci Galleries at 1075 Paseo de Prata. The exhibit of her work will be up through August 8th there. It's really beautiful. Take a look at the cover story and get by there and see the exhibit and, if possible, the lecture. Don Leguizamo, great, great performance artist from New York. I saw his work in New York when I was living there. He's coming to town with his new work, John Leguizamo, live, 8 o'clock Thursday and Friday, Lenzik, 988-1234. See today's Pasatiempo for my Q&A with him, which took place last week. Interesting, funny guy. And sometimes we talk movies, and there's a bunch of independent little pictures opening, and I'll just run through them as quickly as I can.
What makes a movie little?
It's just a term I like to use for pictures that perhaps aren't in the mainstream or were thrown together quickly and efficiently, which doesn't mean they're not good. It's Jonathan Richards loved Burma Vijay, about underground journalists basically keeping an eye on all the political, military, and violent unrest there. Take a look at his review in today's PASA, opens at CCA. I liked El Dorado, a comedy drama, which owes a lot to Waiting for Godot and Laurel and Hardy and even cowboy movies at the screen. My review's in today's paper. The Married Gentleman is a decent picture, directed, very well directed by Michael Keaton, who's also in it as a suicidal hitman who hooks up with an abused woman. Acting is really good. I think the script meanders, but it's worth seeing. I gave it 2.5, which means it's above average. It's at DeVargas. Swing by there and see it. And finally, El Corazón de Santa Fe. I believe it's sold out one night only at the Lensic. See my big picture column about Tony Martinez's documentary about the history of Santa Fe through its faith. A good picture, though. I saw a press screening, and I really liked it. Finally, The Letter, Betty Davis. Remember that picture?
Of course.
She comes out blasting her pistol. Bam, bam, bam. It ties in with that opera.
It's the plot of the opera called The Letter, which is at the Santa Fe Opera this season and is taken from Somerset Maugham short story.
That's right. Next weekend it opens, the opera, but the movie is at CCA if you want to go see it.
And let's see. Craig Varjabedian, whom we had on this morning, is going to be tonight at the New Mexico History Museum, this amazing new place. And The Image Taker, which is the selected stories and photographs of Edward Curtis, at Collected Works Bookstore on Tuesday at 6 in the evening. And then on Thursday, El Rancho de las Golondrinas, Carmela Padilla, and Jack Parsons. Lots going on there.
And also The Image Taker had a book review in today's PASA in our book section. Let's look at Doug Fairfield's review of it. Craig Smith also did a nice book review on 1001 Classical Recordings You Must Hear Before You Die. Do you feel like there's stuff you need to do before you die, like really?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, what about you?
No, people always tell me stuff. They're mad at me because I never saw Dr. Zhivago. So they're like, you have to see Dr. Zhivago before you die. And it's like the movie came out 45 years ago. I haven't seen it yet. I suspect I'll go through another.
You might not ever see it, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I really feel that that's okay.
There's probably more important things, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny that you asked that because I was thinking about that the other day, and actually it's not a long list for me.
That's odd.
It's a pretty short list. It used to be a long list, but I've done most of it.
Ooh, tell me more.
No.
Is there one thing on that list that you would say to us on the air that you need to want to do before you die?
I'd have to think about it. Ask me next week.
Okay. That's fair enough. I'm going to remember. Don't extrapolate me and think
that?
I'm not going to remember.
Hey, there's another very important thing. Have you heard about Danza de las Plumas?
Danzas de las Plumas. Go ahead. Take it away.
Danza de las Plumas is the Metamorphosis Documentation Project, and they are doing the Danza de las Plumas, which is the culmination of years of study and documentation and filmmaking and organizing around this dance that is done in Oaxaca, Mexico, in a village there of about 5,000 people, something like that. And they are bringing the dancers up here to do what amounts to a devotional dance, which is a combination of Catholicism and indigenous dance. It's one of the conquest dances that has some links to the Indian dances that are done here in northern New Mexico. And the people who do it are amazing and can dance for 8 solid hours with these huge headdresses on their heads and very athletic dancing. And it's happening at El Rancho de las Golondrinas at 11 o'clock tomorrow, and then on Sunday at Plaza Contenta in Tierra Contenta at 1 in the afternoon, 6005 Jaguar Drive. The latter is a free event. I'm not sure about the first one.
Probably you have to pay by museum admission out there.
Maybe. Yeah. And then it's happening the following weekend also on Saturday and Sunday, on Saturday at the National Hispanic Cultural Center and Sunday at El Camino Real International Heritage Center it's actually south of Socorro. So lots going on with that. But I think I'm going to go to the Plaza Contenta one just to see what this is like, because I've watched the movie by Armando Espinosa and mm-hmm. Craig Johnson a couple of times, and it's really impressive.
Excellent. I'm glad you pitched that. We talked about The Letter opening next weekend at the opera. This weekend is Don Giovanni by Mozart.
Right.
I don't know much about that opera.
It's about this guy who is an absolutely horrible womanizer who has no redeeming qualities to his character. He's cruel to everybody he meets, including murder and heartbreak and...
Well, that's not good.
And basically...
He's evil.
Treating your friends as if they were lower than dogs. And he is evil, and he comes to the end that he deserves.
Well, that's like all opposite.
After 2.5 hours.
That's the thing. They sing and scream, and then the next thing you know, somebody's laying there with a knife in their heart, and they're still singing. So at least in the lighter, the person gets killed right away, and you know you don't have to wait all 90 minutes for the person to get shot.
Yeah, but then you have to see who killed him. Well, you know who killed him, but why, and go through this whole trial, and is she innocent or guilty? That's a good... The Betty Davis movie is terrific, and I think... I haven't seen the opera yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. New Mexico Jazz Festival this weekend. Got a jazz. Paul Weideman did a really nice series of stories on it. Dave and Don Grusin Quartet are playing, for example, tonight at the Lenzic. Really nice piece on them by Paul, who loves jazz, and he writes very well about it. There's a nice jazz festival schedule, page 29 of Paso Tiempo, which you can pick up for 4 bits. It's your arts and entertainment magazine every Friday. Also, Jimmy Heath and the Generations Band, they're playing on Sunday also at the Lenzic. Wouldn't be surprised if everything's at the Lenzic. 988-1234, see Paul's story. And on Sunday, I'm going to go see Claire Bloom, who I just find a wonderful actress, absolutely beautiful, sensual lady. And she's going to be coming to read for the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival, part
Excellent.
Of the Music of the Masters, narrating Songs of Bilitis. Now, don't be mad at me. This just happens to be a very naughty, erotic story. I didn't make this up. About a young woman who...
Why would I be mad at you?
Because sometimes when I come up with these sort of connections, you suggest that maybe that we weren't talking about Bigfoot, and then I bring them up, or we weren't talking about women sunbathing nude together, and you get
mad
at me.
Well, you're talking about an event that's happening.
Right.
I mean, sometimes we'll be talking about the New Mexico History Museum.
That's
you'll be talking about the underwear ads in the Paso Tiempo.
No, that's different. We're not talking about the hair. We're talking about a young woman who goes to Greece and on those great islands where I used to live, and... You know, was seduced by other women, and all that's wonderful. Anyway, so that became a story, a literary hoax by Pierre Louis, L-O-U-S-Y-S, with a couple of dots over to you. And they turned it into a piece of classical music, and she's going to come narrate it Sunday. She's also doing Capulet's Mask of the Red Death, and there's a piece by me and an interview by me with her. So that's 6 o'clock Sunday and 6 o'clock Monday at the St. Francis Auditorium. New Mexico Museum of Art, see my story in Paso, or just call, you know where, 988-1234. They also have their upcoming season. Craig Smith has an overview of what they're doing this season, so if you want to see that, runs from July 19th through August 24th. I think it's mostly at St. Francis Auditorium, but also some at the Lenzic and some at the New Mexico Museum of Art. So check it out.
How about Shakespeare Abridged?
Shakespeare Abridged, thank you.
I think I'm
going
to go to that tonight if I can.
What's happening is that some students
Shakespeare
got
Abridged,
together.
Three terrific dudes from the College of Santa Fe, Justin Crabtree, Miles Cooper, Matt Gibbons, doing Shakespeare Abridged at the College of Santa Fe's Greer Garson Theater. And
No, Weckesser Studio Theater. It's the smallest theater, but it is in the Greer Garson Center.
Well, that's all I have on the postcard that they gave me, but anyway.
It's the Weckesser Studio Theater in the Greer Garson. It's free.
It's tonight and tomorrow night at what time?
8.
8 o'clock.
Sunday
and then
at
Sunday
two.
At 2. And the same thing again next weekend. And this, we had them on the air and they did the Othello rap, which was very funny. But the this is actually one of the longest running shows in London.
Because you get Shakespeare done in 90 minutes and you see the whole canon of stuff and you don't have to wait for all, like at the opera. You don't have to wait to the end. Everybody dies right away and there's humor. Because if you've seen one Shakespeare play, well, you haven't necessarily seen them
all.
You
have not seen them all. Thank you very much.
But a couple of them are similar with people cross-dressing and getting into the wrong dressing rooms and
stuff.
Good
point.
Anyway, so that's there. It's free. Head on down. Here's a phone number. It's a 214 phone number, which is Miles' phone number. 214-663-7829. What do you know about Celebrate Sustainable Santa Fe?
You tell me.
A People, Planet, and Prosperity Festival. Saturday, 10 o'clock, Santa Fe Community Convention Center. You got to pay to get in. Weekend pass, since it also happens Sunday, 988-1234. Going to be various speakers, including radio commentator Jim Hightower.
Jim Hightower's going to be here?
Yep.
Yay.
Social activist, food activist, green products and service. There's also going to be music from people like Tosh Meets Marley and Big Head Todd and the Monsters. Check it out, 988-1234, both days, Saturday and Sunday. TicketsSantaFe.org will also tell you what's happening.
And, of course, Santa Fe Desert Corral, Measure for Measure. It's a program of music based on the words of Shakespeare. And the next performance is Thursday of next week at the Loretto Chapel.
Greg Smith has a fairly positive review of that in his Critical Ear column today. Coming down the line in a couple of weeks is Heavy Metal Romeo and Juliet.
Really?
Yeah, it'll be here in town at the end of the month. That's the way you have to do Romeo and Juliet, like, you know.
You have to?
Well, it's a good way to get young people involved. So,
young people do Romeo and Juliet whether they know it or not.
Well, that's the one Shakespeare play, you're right, they do. They like that one.
They've never heard of it, they act it out.
Okay.
Because they're 14, as are Romeo and Juliet.
That's right.
But most of them don't act it out to the point of...
Let's not go there. Viva Mexico at El Rancho de los Golondrinas, 10 to 4 Saturday. Everything from rodeo to Mexican market with traditional food, dance, music. Grupo de Promesa is going to be performing at 10:45, rodeo at 1:30, fashion show at 3:30. Go out there, Los Pinos Road. It's not that expensive. Continues on Sunday, both days, 10 to 4 at El Rancho de los Golondrinas. Interestingly enough, I don't have a phone number, but you can find it. And also, I'm not making this up. It just happens to be happening Saturday. Party Braz, B-R-A-Z. Julie Anderson, costume designer Kathy Erdman, are showing and selling art bras from 11 to 2 on Saturday out at the Outlet Malls. Call Julie at 989-7125 or check out costumesalon.com. And proceeds benefit Open Hands and Coleman for the Cure. So it's a good cause. It has keeping abreast of everything with the bra thing. I'll probably, coincidentally, I might be out there just embracing my bosom, everything they're doing. I got to go out there and do some shopping at the next place over. So maybe I'll pop in and see how the bra sale's going.
Well, it wouldn't be Speaking of the Arts if we didn't have a dog. And I got a picture of this white lab mix, golden lab mix. And he wrote the email himself.
The doggy did?
The dog did. You want to hear what it says?
Oh, I never heard of a paw pal like that being a pen pal, but go ahead.
It says, "Hi, my name is Omar.
Look how
like everyone, but I'm channeling the dog. But my foster human says I should ask for a strong, outdoorsy, experienced dog owner who spends a big chunk of time working at home and hiking. I am a neutered male, cream-colored English Labrador Retriever who ended up at Española Valley Humane Society. Something about running at large. I seem to remember there was a girl dog involved. The vet thinks that I'm 3 years old. I'm an 80-pound chunk of muscle. So I've been called Ofmar when I play too hard. I'm protective of those I bond with." Anyway, he's got a deep bark. He's a great dog. He's not aggressive. He needs a strong person who likes to go hiking. And if you are interested in this dog, who is very cute, I guess he's not a lab mix. I guess he's just a lab.
Yeah.
Call Lucy at 983-1290.
That's nice. What time is it?
8:48.
That's good.
That's a good dog.
Good doggy.
It's a good dog.
Speaking of dogs and alligators, the two go together in a famous theatrical tale, Peter Pan. Pandemonium Productions presents this musical, 2 o'clock tomorrow and Sunday. I think they also have a show tonight at 7 or 8 o'clock at the James A. Little. And you can, 7 o'clock, call 982-3327. Peter Pan will probably fly. There's going to be an alligator who's trying to catch Captain Hook. And there's also a doggy that the kids own that's already been adopted. I can't remember the dog's name in that show. Peter Pan. What's the name of that dog?
I don't know. Tinkerbell?
No, Tinkerbell's a little, the cute little. Remember that Tinkerbell? Remember when Walt Disney did the TV series in the 50s and Tinkerbell was like, introduced the show?
No, I do not remember the Walt
Disney. And she was
Disney's.
Like, va, 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 voom, because they based her body on Marilyn Monroe. So she's like the Barbie of little fairies. But everybody thought Tinkerbell was really hot. I did. I was little. And I understood that she was. Okay, so anyway, never mind that. It's a kid's show, so let's get out of this. What else? Hiding in the Desert, although how you would hide in the desert is beyond me. Performance of Haydn's Symphony No. 88, which came after all the other ones. He did 87 before then. The guy was prolific. 5:15 on Sunday at Rivieras Gallery, 123 Grant Avenue. Got to pay to get in, 670-6482. So that's Haydn in the Desert.
At Gig in Santa Fe, Matt Brewer Quartet. I guess he's a bass player, and that is tonight at Gig. At 8 o'clock, and then tomorrow night, Roger Landy's Paul Brown and Polly Tapia Ferber suggested donation to these events. So I guess it's going to be kind of a Celt and Balkan fusion tomorrow night.
Pretty good. Let's see. The Empty Bowl is a live auction of hand-painted pet bowls by artists and celebrities. Cocktails and food and a fashion show all come together for the Empty Bowl Project Sunday at 6 at Milagro 139, which is 139 West San Francisco Street, 983-7125. Proceeds benefit the Heart and Soul Animal Sanctuary. And you and I always do our best while talking about the arts to talk about animals and how to help them and be good to them and be sweet to them and kiss them on their foreheads and pet them and give them food and be nice to them and then not yell at them when they bark at 3 in the morning because they think they see somebody. You never know.
It does get very irritating.
It does, because, you know, are they really after a burglar or a squirrely, or did the Zobra break loose and he's coming towards your house and to peek in the window?
Yeah, and what are the statistical chances of each one?
Probably squirrely at 3 in the morning is very statistically possible. But this
or another dog. Night. My dogs bark, especially the terriers, just when there's other dogs barking outside. So they want to
let them know
weigh
they're in
town. And say, we're here too, woof, woof, woof.
Right, we'll tell the whole neighborhood.
One thing about being out of town that was nice was there were no dogs barking in my ears.
I know. When I went to New York for a week in June, same thing. No doggies. Jackalope, summer concert series.
I hope they're not listening.
Barbara Mayfield and her marionette puppets for all ages. This is great. 2 o'clock Sunday.
Barbara Mayfield is terrific.
Take the kids out to Jackalope. I love Barbara.
And she's great with kids.
And she's great with marionette puppets who aren't evil and don't come to life to get you. 2 o'clock Sunday at 2820 Cerritos Road. No charge. Great thing to do Sunday afternoon. However, if it's hot, bring water and wear hats. Why would you not do that? Is there something happening at SFAI we got to talk about? Open Studio or something?
Yes, Open Studios are happening on Thursday of next week. Thank you for reminding me. And I will get the information here. 5:30 at the Santa Fe Art Institute. Free admission. And I'm going to have a whole bunch of the residents on my show on Monday. Some of them doing very interesting work and very articulate people.
Nice. Robin Hood opens at night at the Armory for the Arts, the City Different Players kids adaptation of the tale with much sword play and slapstick, 7 o'clock, 984-1370, starts Thursday. That's the night Carmela Padilla and Jack Parsons get together to discuss and sign copies of El Rancho de los Colondrinas, Living History in New Mexico's La Cienega Valley, 6 to 8 at Collected Works downtown.
I mentioned that already, but that's all
you
right.
You did.
You
thank
don't,
you
don't
thing
always
you
listen. It's yep. Okay. I'm
you're
used
right.
to it.
It goes both ways. You're absolutely right.
This that's is what you accuse me of.
It's just a fair assessment of our relationship. Sometimes we take each other for granted and we don't do enough to touch one another or
our
let
relationship.
One another know that we're okay. I should mention that Jonathan Richards, who's a freelancer for the Pasta Tiempo, is going to be reading from the short story, The Letter.
Yes.
Part of this opera stuff having to do with The Letter. And he'll be doing that at the Collected Works on Monday night at 7 o'clock. And again, Collected Works has moved downtown from one downtown locale to another at 202 Galisteo Street. 7 o'clock, Monday, Jonathan Richards, The Letter, Collected Works, free. The next day, this is very interesting, the 64th annual Behind Adobe Walls Tours, guided tours of private residences with high desert gardens, 1 to 4:30 on Tuesday. Got to pay to get in, but that includes a motor coach. Call 984-0022. The tour is again the following Tuesday. You get to go see private residences, and that's where perhaps you'll see, you know, lovely young women sunbathing and, you know, perhaps a pair of twins, things like that. So you never know. You check out the gardens, too. Maybe you'll see some poison ivy and bumblebees, stuff like that. You been going to any of the outside-in bandstand concerts? Free?
Yeah.
6 o'clock. I swung by there last night again on my way back from a drink at Del Toro.
It's a wonderful gift to the city of Santa Fe, free music on the plaza.
It certainly is.
And good music on the plaza.
Absolutely. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there's noon concerts. There's 6 p.m. concerts. Go and dance. And Monday night, for example, they're going to have Middle Eastern Dance Troupe and World Fusion. And I know that next Wednesday, for the sake of argument, they're going to have... Welcome to Bohemia doing gypsy music at noon, and at night they're going to have the Salsa Rueda, who you love, Latin dance, Latin rock at 6 o'clock. That's Wednesday. Check out outsidein.com.
Salsa Rueda is so much fun.
Swing by the plaza, 6, 7 o'clock, any night, Monday through Thursday. I don't think they do Fridays, and I wonder about that. Why shouldn't they add a Friday night? But a lot of people would go to that.
You know, I just want you to know, in the New York Times... You know the President Obama's Portuguese water dog?
Yeah.
He wrote an article.
The dog?
The dog.
You think I'm nuts whenever I bring up the UFOs and the wildest police chases
I'm just,
and the
this is in the New York Times. It must be true.
Shows. You're the only person I know that channels and has dogs talk to
I'm
you.
I'm just quoting. Would
email
you, like,
you.
I will read you the first paragraph.
Everything
of this,
you read in the newspaper ain't
of
for
this
sure.
Op-ed
Go ahead,
by the dog, by Obama's dog.
Let's hear it.
Before my arrival in the White House in April, I was not well known to the American people. Perhaps understandably, I was greeted with some suspicion. Portuguese water dog has a foreign sound to it. My hair covers my eyes, which can create the impression that I am not trustworthy.
She's reading from a
From
dog
the
water.
First, I took it upon myself not only to illustrate my own belief in clear thinking and accountability, but to give the American people a sense of what their lives would be like during my time in the White House. As I approach the milestone of my first 100 doggy days in office, I want to reiterate some of my basic convictions. It goes on from there, but it's by the, what can I tell you? It's by the dog. It's in
Wait a minute, well you start out by giving us the prologue and then you don't tell us what the convictions are. If the dog's being convicted,
well,
there's enough political
go
scandal
to the paper.
In Washington. Now the poor dog's getting convicted.
You got to go to the paper and read it. I think it was in yesterday's, actually. Somebody sent me the op-ed.
So you're mad at me because I bring up world's wildest, Sasquatch chases, and then you're talking about the, what time is it?
They also sent me an editorial called When Dogs Fly.
Why are you on all these lists? This is amazing.
Because my friends know I like dogs. It's 8:57. You have a minute left to sing, and I will be quiet.
Well, I didn't prepare a song, but when this here town starts getting me down, and people are just too hard for me to take, I climb way up to the top of the stairs, where all the sounds below just fade away. On the roof, as peaceful as can be. And there, the world below don't bother me. Let me tell you, girl, when I wake up feeling tired and weak, I go up where that air is fresh and sweet. Up on the roof, I do the background too. I get away from the hustling crowd and all that rat race noise down in the street. Well, on the roof, the only place I know, where you just have to wish to make it so. Girl, let's go up on the roof. Take it away.
Very nice. Robert Knott, speaking of the arts, this sounds anticlimactic, but we forgot to mention the Los Alamos County Summer Concert Series. Friday nights at Ashley Pond, and tonight, California Americana rocker Steve Pultz. You can find out more about that by looking it up on the internet. And then Saturday from 11 to 2, the next big idea, a festival of discovery, invention, and innovation. This is the Los Alamos County Summer Concert Series. You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Robert Knott. No, your name is Robert Knott. KSFR streams live on the web.
So channeling me as a dog.
At ksfr.org. My email is radiocafe.org, and my telephone doesn't work anymore. Anybody who's called me in the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Isn't that nice? You have to have a phone?
Well, I mean, my home phone works, but my phone at the station doesn't work, but it sounds like it does. So you can leave a message, but I'm not going to get it.
I gotcha. So people
should
email you.
So don't call. Just email radiocafe@ksfr.org. We are podcasting at santafe radiocafe.org. That means you can hear the show whenever you want. Thanks to the wonderful Santa Fe Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can also find me on Facebook.com/Radio Cafe. Are you on Facebook?
No, I got my own website called Naughty Nudes. I'm in 4 of them.
Okay. Thanks to Brian Highhill for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team.
Baby,
and after that, jazz a la carta. Why don't you have a Facebook?
You know what? Honestly, if I could get away without a computer and a phone, I would. I do it at my work, and then I go home and I don't have any of that stuff.
Well, if you're on Facebook, you can friend, quote-unquote, you can friend the Radio Cafe, and there's lots of fans and friends and people and institutions listening.
I've got my Ursula Andress DVD collection.
It's very
and,
nice.
Some old literature from Billetus, so that's that. You look beautiful, by the way.
Thank you, Robert. You don't look so bad yourself.
Like that. You have this sort of sensuality, like a languid cat that needs some... You have a great week. I'll see you next week. Are
have
we going to lunch
week.
With some people?
Yeah, lunch.
We
hey,
set that up. People that won lunches, call us
up. Call
us.
Call
Take
me.
Us out.
And, well, we're taking them.